The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are gearing up for the college football playoff. We know the dogs are in, but we don't know the status of what Carson Beck's situation is going to be with that UCL injury. We're going to talk to our buddy Seth Emerson coming up here in just a few moments. 404-726-0929 as we continue our conversation about the Falcons. And, Mike, one thing I do want to mention, as one of our listeners said to us, and this is kind of funny, but we will talk more about this as we continue to move along today. But he says, Dukes, I kind of blame the media. You guys, and along with everybody else, are saying, hey, we need to do more man-to-man coverage. We need to get after the quarterback. They attempt to do that, and we're in the midst of this losing streak. Okay, I hear you. I'm not going to take blame for the interceptions and the mistakes that this team's making, but I will tell you, yes, Mike and I did say that. Because we felt like that would help us get more pressure. So if it is helping us get more pressure, it's doing exactly what we had hoped it would do. Mike, we'll get to it. Because I just wanted to address this. Because he's like, you guys asked for it, and now we're still losing.
Yeah, well, you get carved up by the zone. But, I mean, the corner's got to be better. I mean, you're going to do it. You got to be coached up. And not, you can't be falling on yourself, Carl. Like, it's literally an Asian fire drill.
It seemed that way. Let's talk some dogs. Seth, thank you for joining us. He writes for The Athletic, guys, does a great job of covering the SEC and obviously the dogs. What do you know about Carson Beck's injury, and what do you think about his ability to return at this point from what you know?
Well, I haven't heard anything fresh, to be honest, today. As of really about this time yesterday was when UGA put out its statement, which confirmed what I had heard earlier in the day and was looking to report, which was that he was looking for some other options, some other treatment options. And he may be doing that today. What I'd heard yesterday was that the MRI revealed it either wasn't a tear or it was a slight enough tear, not a serious enough tear, that he needed to go get the same surgery that Brock Purdy got a couple years ago, which is a new surgery on UCL that speeds up the return process, but is still, still would have him missing the rest of the season because of the timing of it. But it's still not certain that he won't get that. He's looking at options, and he may be doing that today. He may be meeting with a specialist, getting some advice, getting some feedback on what the possibilities here are. Look, there's a couple things here. The most important thing for him, and I think, is Georgia's playoff run. But the other thing is the draft. And, if he gets the surgery, he's probably out for the combine, probably out for UGA's pro day. And I'm not sure if he's going to be able to throw before the draft at all. Right. But what if he doesn't need the surgery? What if he's able to rest it for a couple weeks and then see if, see if it's healing well enough that he can play? Can he grip the ball? Does he have good velocity on the throws? I think the best case scenario for Georgia is that, but the best case scenario for Georgia is still uncertainty. You won't hear any firm announcement this week that he's going to play for sure in the Sugar Bowl. The best news for Georgia will be no news, that he's not getting surgery, that he's not ruled out. But the alternative of, you know, it's just not going to happen, he's got to shut it down, that
right.
That's still out there too, and that's something that could be released this week.
Hey, Seth, maybe you don't. Any timeline that you just laid out that keeps him out of conversation with the NFL, where they don't know what they've got for the draft, that he comes back, and would Kirby want him back?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would. I mean, look, if Carson Beck and his people came to him and said, look, you know, this I'm just not going to be able to do any draft prep, and the feedback we're getting from the NFL is that we don't see you as better than a third round pick now or whatever, and I think it would be better for me to put together another good year in college, a healthy year in college, Kirby will say, all right, done, you know.
Right.
And if we lose some quarterbacks to the portal, then so be it. The chances of that happening are better than they were before the SEC championship when all this happened, but I don't know. I don't know that I don't know how much of a possibility that is, and I think he's probably getting that feedback right now too. I'm hoping to have a story out in the next 24 hours that talks to an NFL draft expert, and also like a medical expert on the options here. Cause this is a new one. Like the UCL injury is something that they've dealt with a lot in baseball, and it's pretty easy. You go get Tommy John surgery, but it's different in football. Like it's new, it doesn't happen as much, and also it's not automatically Tommy John surgery in football. Mm-hmm. Throwing, you can throw a football on a UCL, maybe not tear, but bruise, or maybe even slight tear. It's a different deal than baseball. That's something that I just found out since Saturday, since I started, you know, looking into and dealing with this story.
Seth, let's talk about Gunnar Stockton for a second, because I spent some time today talking about going into this tournament of 12 teams, obviously least experienced. I start looking at these other quarterbacks around the country, and if I had to pick, I'd pick Gunnar Stockton 12th, right? Based on what we know about some of these other quarterbacks, doesn't mean that he won't win or that he can't lead them to a national championship if need be, but what do we really know about him?
We know a lot more than we did before Saturday when he went in there. And, you know, he immediately led them on a touchdown drive, and he led them on a couple more field goal drives, and ultimately the overtime, even though Carson Beck went in there at the end. But, I mean, he made a gutsy run up the middle on to set up the final touchdown play. He had another run like that. He obviously showed his running ability, but, you know, he showed his passing ability on some plays, too. I think – like there may be this kind of takeaway of, oh, he's just kind of a running quarterback, but he was not known as like a pure dual threat quarterback. I think it was more because of the circumstances of him going in and of the game. It was, hey, let's use his feet, you know, let's give Texas something they're not ready for, and they weren't. So that was why you saw more of that. Now that, you know, he does not have Carson Beck's arm. He does not have Carson Beck's, size. And obviously he doesn't have Carson Beck's experience, but they are bottom line. They're going to get him ready now. Like like I said, best case scenario, Carson Beck, after a couple weeks, says, hey, I think I can try to do this. But Carson Beck has 2 years of starting experience where if he wakes up the day of the Sugar Bowl and says, I can play,
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Without having practiced at all between now and then, and they could put him in. So they're going to get Gunnar Stockton ready. I think you're going to see him throwing more and them opening it up in terms of the passing game more than you saw the second half of that game now that they have some prep for it.
Well, his high school numbers, we were talking about earlier, up in, I guess, depending on where you live in Georgia, up or over in Rabun County, was just insane. 70 touchdowns his senior year, so we know the athleticism is there. But is Kirby going to release the hounds, pardon the pun? Because we were joking around about, like, you know, I figured Jaden Rashada didn't come over here for fish heads and rice. I was using the Cardale Jones reference to Ohio State, and would you use the best athlete? And obviously Kirby loves to go with the degree of experience, even if it's just one more game.
Well, I mean, Ryan Puglisi was going to be the one to go in. Like, he is the number three right now, which makes him the number two. Jaden Rashada did not get here until after spring practice. So he's got seniority in terms of experience, in terms of game experience.
But not actual ability, but, availability.
Well, he's had, you know, knowledge of the offense, getting comfortable. I mean, they told him coming in, like, look, you know, you're coming in here to learn. You're coming in here to kind of reset yourself after everything that happened in Florida and then the year at Arizona State and to learn. So now I think they're going to catch him up a little bit, but I anticipate that, like, and again, this is a hypothetical.
Right.
If Carson Beck is ruled out for the Sugar Bowl, it's Gunnar Stockton, and I think they're getting Puglisi ready as the number two. But I wouldn't rule out, now that Jaden Rashada is a little bit closer to playing, that he gets more snaps and they're like, you know, let's see what can be done here. But Kirby did say after the game that Ryan Puglisi would have been the next one in.
Gotcha.
What do you know about the portal? I'm looking at a story right now. Nitro Tuggle apparently announced he was entering the transfer portal yesterday. Yeah. He's changed his mind. How many guys do you think the Dogs will eventually lose? And Kirby's approach to the portal?
I mean, it's just the nature of college football these days that you're like, these guys can all read depth charts, and they're gonna lose 20 maybe every year. Maybe that's a high number. That's what it's gonna be this year because of the coming roster limits, which are gonna cut. You know, 105 is gonna be the number now. Programs like Georgia have been at like 125, 130. So you're going to see a bunch of names go in there for everybody, but the majority of them are going to be walk-ons. But like, look, you know, I talked to somebody over there yesterday when I was chasing this Carson Beck stuff, and this person was like, oh, you're still worried about Beck? We're worried about a ton of other stuff right now. Like, this was, you know, some of it was like setting up visits because they're bringing in I think they're bringing in Eric Singleton from Georgia Tech, and Dane Key from Kentucky. Like, they're looking for receivers. They want the right Concepcion kid from NC State.
They need it.
But they're trying to hold on to guys, and it's awkward because some of the guys they're trying to hold on to are like guys that are going to play in the Sugar Bowl. So, I mean, I don't want to throw out some names, but you can probably just check a message board or two and see the, you know, but there's guys that, like, people's heads are a little bit on a swivel. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting ready for the playoffs, but guys have to worry about 2025 and where they're going to be too. And sometimes it's perfectly understandable and legitimate of, like, hey, am I not, you know, assured a playing spot? Like, you know, if you're the number five or number six receiver on this year's team, and you see while Georgia may be losing Dom Lovett, you know, I'm already forgetting names, but, you know, there, you know, Arian Smith actually can come back, but, you know, whether he will, we'll see. But you also see that Georgia has signed all these receivers, including a five-star in Taylor, and they're pursuing these other guys in the portal, you're saying, hey, yeah, I know you're telling me I'm going to play in the Sugar Bowl, but I got to think about where I would be in the pecking order in 2025. So it's a really awkward thing. I mean, the upshot for what I'm sure Georgia is saying and hoping will carry the day is that if you're in the playoffs, your portal time, your deadline to enter the portal gets extended by every, I don't, off the top of my head, I shouldn't know this, but it may be like 7 days after your last game. So you can tell guys, just wait until we're done. Mm. You can go in after we're done. But the problem with that is that, like, depending on where you want to go, is that where you want to go, are there as many options by the time you go in the portal if you wait until after the Sugar Bowl or after the semifinals or after the championships if Georgia gets there? It's just all – the calendar makes it all a very weird, awkward thing.
Gotcha.
Seth, great job. Appreciate you. Read him, guys, in The Athletic. He does a great job of covering the Dogs and the SEC. We appreciate you stopping by, Seth. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And by the way, Carl, the Kobe Young case, the baby's mama recanted her initial comments to the police. DA doesn't want to hear about it. So that case is going to proceed. And it doesn't look like it would make enough time to hurdle all these legal obstacles to make it back on the field for Georgia this year.
All right. Coming up, we got to talk about what we wanted, what we asked for, what we got, and how it's hurting us. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we asked for more pressure. We've been getting it from our Falcons. We've got, what, Mike, 9 sacks over the last couple of games?
Yeah, we are killing it, man. We are getting after that quarterback.
All right.
Strip sacks.
Yes, we wanted more sacks. We wanted also, and this is something we asked for on this show, which was, hey, let's do some more press man coverage. Okay, I can't tell you in every situation or scenario that we gave up big plays on Sunday against the Vikings that we were in press coverage, but there were a couple of plays, Mike, where you said – you saw our guys with their back running with the wide receiver, which means it was a one-on-one situation. This is not working out the way we thought it would.
Yeah. Now, I guess the argument is if you're going to go with like man for man, and again, when you blitz, a safety blitz, and Justin Simmons comes in, he's got to get home. Because if he doesn't, you've got Addison, you've got Jefferson down there running down the field, and that's bad. And you already saw about guys getting twisted like into pretzels and falling down on the ground. And like, you know, it looked awful. But it just gets magnified when you don't get there. And so it's a combination of, yeah, we joked around on yesterday's show for guys who missed it. Smitty, sacks don't matter. Yeah, they don't matter when you don't get there, when they hit you for the big touchdown. It just seems like it's a great, and that's the debate, argument that a couple of our listeners brought up on Twitter and on the text line saying, look, you guys wanted it? Well, yeah. So so then what? So we stay in the zone coverage. And we get chopped up by 1,000 tiny cuts. And maybe the time of possession goes a little bit longer on their offense as far as explosive plays, but they still beat us. I don't know.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, you know, you want to blame because you're looking for somebody to blame.
Who's to blame? I want somebody's ass in my briefcase.
You want to blame us because you're like, you guys wanted this. So blame the mistakes. blame the interceptions. Blame the penalties, all right? So what we were asking for should have been a part of the solution of how this team got better and defensively got
the
stops.
How the hell is this our fault? We're not paid to coach this team.
That's what I'm saying. So you want to blame somebody. You want to point the finger. Well, you guys wanted this. Yes, we did. And we're getting part of what we wanted. We wanted more sacks. We're getting that. What we didn't want is to give up big explosive plays and more points being put on the board by the opposing team.
Now, here's the good news and bad news. The good news is we've raised our sack
total. Give me
the
bad news first.
Well, we're still the dead last team in sacks
in
the NFL.
Okay, all right.
And here's shining point number two. All the pressure that we've added up, we are still tied for dead last with the Houston Texans for giving up the most passing touchdowns in 26.
Yeah.
26 touchdowns that we've given up this year in 13 games.
It's funny, Mike, because I'm looking up here literally as we're speaking, and I think this is Dan Orlowski who's doing something with this glove on the coverages.
Which is pretty wild, yeah, this whole virtual thing.
Yeah, and he's going through – yeah, it's Orlowski, and he's going through the Vikings scoring, throwing the football against us, and it's our game, as I just looked up and saw that.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like here's the deal. There is a balance, and this is what I'm getting to. And we got a guy talk coming up. We got Falcon Report on the way at 5 o'clock. You'll hear more from Raheem Moore, so we'll be up there on Thursday to talk to Ra. But I feel like there's a balance between everything that we're doing and then the mistakes.
Like, limit the mistakes, Mike, and still do some of the stuff that we're doing. If you're telling me we're going to get 4 or 5 sacks against the Raiders, I'm all for it. But you can't give up 4 or 5 explosive plays and touchdowns down the field of 40 or 50 yards and expect to win either. So there's a balance of what is going on. I'm not backing off of the things that we wanted to see on this defense that hopefully would get us better. You guys know this, though. The bigger problem has been, and let's just own it, has been the offense. It's been the inability to score in the red zone. Guys, I gave you the numbers earlier this week about our red zone efficiency. Mike, we are 26th in the league in red zone efficiency during this losing streak.
Right.
We don't score in the red zone enough during this 4-game losing streak.
I mean, obviously, we need to score more points.
No, that's it, period. Look, we knew this defense was not going to be overhauled in one full season. I don't think Jimmy Lake has done as good a job as Ryan Nielsen. Now, I know we lost Calais Campbell. We lost Bud Dupree. There was some production there as far as, like, sustained production. Where guys were down linemen, not blitzing. We're getting there to the quarterback better than we are this year. Judon finally got us a sack. But, again, he's obviously been a tremendous disappointment this year. But 17 points against the Saints, 6 against the Broncos, 13 against the Chargers, and the 21 against the Vikes. That's the high point. And this is where, you know, you get into, is there an X factor? Is there something you could throw? Would a Michael Penix Jr. coming in there give this team a spark? It has nothing to do with defense, right? He throws the football. But you just laid it out. We've got to jumpstart this offense.
That's the issue.
And that's why, I mean, for guys, if you're telling me I'm crazy, then why the hell did we draft the kid? Because when you don't throw a touchdown for 4 games with 8 interceptions, it's might as well Kirk Cousins might have an Achilles injury or have a knee or something that's preventing him from doing his job. It's the same as an injury to me. This was the insurance policy, right? You guys told me, no, it's brilliant. Even though the rest of the NFL thinks we're idiots, this is brilliant. Well, here I got a malfunctioning piece at offense. The most expensive piece just happens to be with Kirk Cousins, Carl, but it might as well be an injury because the end result is I'm not getting what I need from my quarterback. So why is it so completely out of the blue and insane? And well, I'll ask Coach, and I'll make those points to Coach when we talk to him on Thursday because I don't get it.
All right. Find us on social media, guys. It is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. Some of the schools that aren't private get the bonuses to the coaches for doing stuff like winning national championships. How much extra is in the envelope, right, for the guys to get the title this year in college football? We'll tell you about that. And did Paul Blart cost the Yankees the return of Juan Soto? We'll explain. What a play is play. Hey, man, Thursday, guys, we'll be up at Flowery Branch, and a lot of things we've discussed we will talk to Coach Raheem Morris about, especially, you know, for me, the burr in my saddle is why haven't we seriously discussed Michael Penix Jr.? Where is his confidence in Kirk Cousins? Why is it immovable, unshakable? And we'll get into that because I was just talking to a couple of dudes on the text line about that. Hey, man, coming up more Falcons talk at 5 o'clock. Last night, 3 different broadcasts from Monday Night Football. You had the regular, I'm Joe, he's Troy, had the Manning cast, and then you had the Simpsons. And I watched some of the Simpsons last night. I watched about like 20 minutes. So I wouldn't watch the whole game watching it, but it was pretty clever. The way it started, Carl, it was kind of cute. I'm a more of a family guy. I haven't watched much Simpsons in a while.
Sure.
But the way it started was kind of cute. They had like the little nerdy kid, Ralph Wiggum, who's the chief of police's son, and he goes, bop, 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 bum, you know, for Monday Night Football. And then it kicked off. They had like, Moe's bar like on the sideline. And you had like, so Moe was like in Hank Azaria's character. It was kind of cute. They had some elements. When you did see on TV, it would have been Cooper Rush throwing a touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb. If you're watching the Simpsons broadcast that I was, that's when the Homer Simpson comes in at quarterback. So actually, if you're watching the Simpsons broadcast, Homer throws the first touchdown of the game to CeeDee Lamb.
That's cool. I didn't, you know, and I know you guys talked about it yesterday. I think you and Turtle both talked about it. I didn't even think about turning it on.
Right.
But so how much of it did you watch?
Like I said, I watched maybe a quarter. I came back to it. I was watching some of the Manning cast, and then I just fell asleep. And then I started watching something on Netflix. But Cowboys, if you didn't hear the story, they blocked a punt. And much like literally almost 30-some-odd years ago to the day with Leon Lett, which was against the Dolphins, of course, in the old days, as you mentioned, when they had the hole in the roof and there was snow on the ground at then Texas Stadium. You had a blocked punt, and then somebody thought, oh, it's okay to try to pick it up. They fumbled it, and then if you didn't see it, the Bengals recover and win a squeaker of a game. And then Jerry Jones says, I don't know why we're trying to block a punt there if we don't know the rules.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I just don't.
I don't know why Jerry could say that. I mean, how you could say that? Because it's counterintuitive. You try to block a punt. Get better field position. It's pretty simple.
It is pretty simple. I don't understand it. I just don't.
Hey, man, we got the college football playoffs kicking off. And we got some, you know, some unique matchups and some teams that have got bigger budgets than some other teams. I ran the numbers in an article that CBS put out there about just how much these college coaches are going to make if they take their team all the way and they win the championship. We'll start with Dilly Dilly. We'll go alphabetically. All Arizona right. State. Coach Dillingham, he's got a little extra in the envelope for him. Getting to the college football playoff, he gets $1.1 extra $1 million just by getting to the college football playoff. He just made some extra loot. How about that? Semifinal gets him around $200,000. College football playoff title game appearance, another $200,000. Wins the whole thing, an extra $400,000. So he's got a chance to, you know, to make almost $1.7 million.
That ain't bad. I mean, just
considering he's one of the lowest paid coaches in the Power Five.
Exactly. I mean, for the guys that are getting the tens and the $12 million, Mike, I mean, this is right. chump change, but it's still. It's interesting to see how much money is being thrown around for these programs that get in.
Not much money up there in Idaho, in Boise State.
Yeah.
Coach Spencer Danielson, he gets $88,000 extra for making the college football
really?
Playoff.
That's it?
That's it. Quarterfinal, he gets $110,000 extra. Semifinal, $132,000. Title game, he gets $176,000. And if he wins it, he gets $220,000. So it all adds up, but you know, not close to what Dilly Dilly's going to make. Dabo only gets $75,000 for making the playoffs since they expanded it.
Dabo was one of the highest paid, though, right?
I believe he still is.
A couple of years ago.
He gets $250,000 for the semifinal appearance, $250,000 if they make the title game, and he gets $350,000 on top of that if they win it all.
Okay.
We built this program in God's name.
I know, Dabo.
Image and likeness.
Well, in God we trust. It's on our currency, man. It's legal tender. Kirby Smart. He makes a college football playoff. He makes $175,000.
Okay.
He makes the quarterfinal, again, similar to Dab, probably the same agent, so Sam, what's his name, with the same deal.
Yeah.
$250,000, Jimmy Sexton. $250,000 to make the quarterfinal, $250,000 to make the semi, $100,000 for the title game, and $400,000 for Kirby if they make the championship and win it.
If they win the chip.
Yep. So altogether, he's got a chance to make an extra mill himself.
That's nice.
Here's the big one, though. Kirk Cignetti, making the college football playoff, $500,000 just by being in. He just earned himself from the Hoosiers a cool $500,000. It's $100,000 for the quarter semis, $300,000 for the title appearance. He wins the college football championship. Indiana pays him $1 million.
Wow.
So he's the biggest winner in all of this.
That's a lot. I mean, but here's the deal. Indiana, there's a huge incentive because they've not been a powerhouse, Mike.
Right.
They've not really done anything traditionally in college football. So if you can do it in Indiana, good luck, and you deserve to get paid $1 million if you win it.
I'll move it along, but Ryan Day gets $500,000 for winning it all. Dan Lanning gets $500,000 for winning it all with six figures for bonuses. Josh Heupel gets $600,000 for winning it all.
Mm.
He's already made $100,000 just by making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Steve Sarkisian, $150,000 for making the playoff, and then it's all $250,000 for every round he advances.
Ain't bad, man. I mean, seriously.
Now, Notre Dame is private, so we don't know how much Marcus Freeman gets. SMU is also a private university.
Yeah.
James Franklin, we do know that Penn State rewrote his contract. So the feeling from up in Penn State is that he's not exactly making as much money as those other guys for making the playoffs. They took a little less. They restructured that contract, a little less in the envelope, if you understand. Right? Makes perfect sense. Yeah, as Chris just said in my ear, they call it a haircut, but he has none. All right, man. Yankee fans, oh my God, come on. I can't believe the Mets got Soto. This is unbelievable. This would never happen if George Steinbrenner was running the Yankees. A lot of folks freaking out up in New York. Here's some new information coming from one of our favorite people, John Heyman, who you will not be hearing on our sister station, WFAN, anytime soon. Here's where it's at. Mets were dead in the water on Sunday afternoon.
Mm.
Yankees had the inside track. And then the Mets ownership decides, Steve Cohen and company, to do a little bit, take a deeper dig. And find out, deeper dive, that Juan Soto's got some issues with the Yankees. Apparently, the Yankees security, quote, treated his family with a bunch of disrespect. They kicked his mother or father out of some area that I guess other people were in. And they did the same thing again later in the season with Soto's driver. He's got a driver. So he had to wait out in the rain outside of Yankee Stadium. So these little things apparently irked Soto. Then the Yankees, when they were basically ready to do the deal, Soto goes, hey, I want a private suite at Yankee Stadium for my family.
Sure.
Yankees go, what? Derek Jeter he paid for his suite. Aaron Judge paid for his suite. You think we just give these suites away?
Mm.
It's almost like George Costanza was running this negotiation, right? Think we're made of money? We're the Yankees. Anyway, Steve Cohen gets wind of this. And apparently they take the traveling secretary from the Mets, who's got apparently a good relationship, was formed a good relationship with Soto, basically tells him, here's how everything is going to work. Here's how we're gonna get you a suite. We're going to have all these, your family is, we're a family here with the Mets, and you're part of our family. So your mom and dad will never get thrown out in the cold Bronx night. And he signs.
Because he shot Derek Jeter!
He signs with the Mets.
That's the deal breaker? Potentially?
They wouldn't give him a suite.
You're the Yankees!
The relatively slight financial disparity begs the question, why did he choose the Mets over the Yankees?
Wow.
Literally, it sounds like this really comes down to some personal choices, and the Yankee security was a little over-aggressive, and Soto took that to heart.
Wow.
I'm Derek Jeter. You shot me.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised, but then again, I'm not. How much did they save, by the way? What was their offer? 47 a year, right? 47
million?
Correct.
The Mets basically came over. Now, again, all the incentives, if there's the opt-in, it comes up to over $800 million. But right now, at 15 years, 765 plus the suite, which is estimated to be worth over 100 grand.
Okay.
So basically, the Yankees, by being cheap on a suite, lose out on Soto.
That's silly. I mean, you're going to offer him all this money, but yet you don't want to give him a suite?
That's nuts, right?
It is.
I can talk
because
you
shot Derek Jeter!
My favorite moment, though, in Seinfeld from George Costanza. Remember when George, they thought that he would park his car outside Yankee Stadium, so it looked like he was always working overtime.
Sure.
And then somebody steals the car and is found somewhere off like the Bronx. And then George Steinbrenner, it's the voice of Larry David, goes to the Costanza home and he goes, Mr. and Mrs. Costanza, we got some terrible news. Well, we believe George, he's gone. And there's a pause and the mother like grabs her face and Jerry Springer goes, how could you trade Jay Buhner? And then immediately goes, well, at the time, a lot of folks in the organization very high on Ken Phelps. He goes, he's an all-star. He's a 30 home run hitter.
He batted 300.
Your son is dead, and the first thing he says is, why did you trade Jay Buhner? See if you can find it on, Arnold trying to find it before we wrap up. That makes me still laugh every time I see it.
It was great. In the moment of where the Yankees were, that was great.
Hey, man, one last nugget for you. We spent a lot of time on this segment over the last year and a half when he was really, really sick, and nobody knew what the hell was going on with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
He was making a movie here in Atlanta. He winds up in the hospital, and then the reports come out because we had folks in law enforcement, folks at the hospital. He's on death's door. It's really bad. He had a stroke. It's this or that. Well, Jamie Foxx has got a new comedy special, which is coming to Netflix, and apparently he's going to spill the tea on what exactly happened back in April of 2023. He was hospitalized with, quote, serious medical complication. Remember, his family was, there was thought that the family was faking information to make it sound like he was in a coma. He's not. No one knew. Well, apparently he's going to tell everybody all about it on this comedy special.
Yeah, and I remember his daughter was like, my dad's playing pickleball. He played pickleball last week. And we're like, no, dude, he just got out the hospital.
Right.
I honestly can't wait to hear what ultimately this was. Everybody, again, the rumors and speculation was it was some kind of stroke.
Right.
Mike, I don't know. That's why this is going to be such a big deal for him. And it's getting rave reviews, by the way. Listen, if you've never seen Jamie do stand-up, he's tremendous and he's talented. You guys know he sings and does all this stuff. But I'm curious to see what this special looks like.
So he said initially there's an article in the LA Times said he was gone for 20 days, had no memory of what happened. But either way, you're going to hear about it on this comedy special. Did you find it, Oren? He's the best. Take a listen to Seinfeld, and they find out George Costanza is gone.
I can't believe it. He was so young. How could this have happened?
Well, he'd been logging some pretty heavy hours. First one in the morning, last one to leave at night. That kid was a human dynamo.
Are you sure you're talking about George?
You are, Mr. and Mrs. Costanza.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, Buhner was a good prospect, no question about it. But my baseball people love Ken Phelps' bat. They kept saying, Ken Phelps, Ken Phelps.
So there you go, from back in the day on Seinfeld. There's your guy talk.
Hey, man, coming up, Falcon Report. Still makes you laugh, right? By the way, when's the last time you caught a Seinfeld? I mean, it's on all the time.
I literally probably catch one or two each week when I'm flipping around.
It's on all the time.
By the way, Hey Man Ale, I know if you're looking for it, it's on the south side. They got it in my Publix in Tyrone, and there's a few more Publix and package stores, so they're still pumping it out. Thanks to our buddies at Oconee. Look for your Hey Man Ale where you buy your brew.
And I was at Bullock's today, as a matter of fact. I just racked up. I had to get some for a friend. So to your point, I know they have it. It's supposed to be in every Publix around the state of Georgia. All you got to do is ask for it, guys, and they'll get it for you. Falcon Report's on the way. We got a lot to talk about. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.